come on in.
Inside the doors of the Groundswell Cannabis Boutique in Denver, it looks like any other high-end retail store. A display case made of dark wood runs down the middle of the room. Don Novak is the store's owner.
Clean, simple experience because we have a lot to tell.
Under the display case's nicely lit glass are ceramic dishes, each with a dried marijuana flower, next to a card with the name of the variety: Purple Cotton, Maui Strawberry, Cherry Pie. Built into the walls are display cases showing off the various marijuana products that are for sale.
You have your concentrates, and then you have edibles, tinctures, drinks, patches, topicals, and the other infused products that we carry.
After Colorado voted for legalization, state regulators were a bit taken aback by the range of products for sale.
Spaghetti sauces, energy drinks, candy bars, gummy bears, you know, all with these varying degrees of potency.
That's Dr. Larry Wolk, the head of Colorado's Department of Public Health and Environment. He says they realized they needed to do something so it would be clear to people what they were getting and how much of it.
So as a state and as regulatory agencies, we quickly recognized that and moved in to standardize packaging, standardize THC potency amounts to a standardized single serving.
So now, if you're eating a square of a chocolate bar that's considered a single serving, you know you're getting 10 milligrams of THC. Colorado launched an educational campaign that tells people to take it easy on the edibles. Start with a small amount and see what happens. The state also required child-safe packaging and banned gummies in the shape of bears or little people or anything that might appeal to kids. Wolk says his job got a little tricky when pot became legal.
You know, as a physician, a public health guy, a pediatrician, you know, it's a lifetime of learning about the ills of marijuana. So it took a little bit of adjusting on my part as a regulator to stay objective, to stay evidence-based.
But he says when he objectively looked at what happened in the state,
it was a bit surprising to see that we really haven't seen an increase in adult use nor youth use as a result of legalization.
No increase in youth or adult use?
No increase.
Wolk says they think the adults using marijuana now were already using before it was legal. As for youth, in a state survey last year, 21% of middle and high school students said they'd used pot in the last 30 days, which is actually slightly below the national average. But some parents are worried, since research shows marijuana is bad for the developing brain. Diane Carlson is a founder of an anti-legalization advocacy group called Smart Colorado.
Colorado kids are not viewing marijuana today as risky. And if you really look at that study, youth use varies dramatically from different areas within the state. And two of the real epicenters of commercialization, where there's been the most stores, youth use is up significantly.
In Denver, where there are about 250 dispensaries, the state's study showed more than 30% of middle and high schoolers reported using pot in the last month. And while some might be getting their hands on their older brother's or parents' stash, there's also a black market they can buy from.
We're spending more time than ever on marijuana enforcement in Colorado.
Jim Gerhardt is a police sergeant and the vice president of the Colorado Drug Investigators Association. He says in addition to sales to young people and to adults who want cheaper, untaxed pot, some of it is getting sent to states where it's illegal or even sold out of the country. Gerhardt says a lot of that pot is coming from people's homes, which complicates things for law enforcement.
It used to be if you found a marijuana grow operation in a person's home, it was illegal. It was on its face illegal. You could deal with that very quickly and efficiently. It's legal now. It is legal to grow marijuana in a person's home. That's what fuels it. And in question four, you have the exact same ability to grow marijuana in your home that you have here in Colorado.
Question four, of course, is the referendum we're voting on here in Massachusetts next week.
So this is the nursery. This is kind of where it all starts.
Inside a nondescript warehouse in an industrial neighborhood of Denver is a giant room full of thousands of young marijuana plants. Most of the state's recreational pot comes from places like this. It's warm and humid, and high-power fluorescent lights beam down. Duncan Cameron is chief production officer for the company, which is called Good Chemistry.
We're not trying to mimic nature, we're trying to beat nature. These lights are on for 24 hours a day.
In each plant is a small blue or yellow tag.
So these are RFID tags that the state requires us to purchase.
Those tags allow the state to track each and every plant grown by a commercial grower to make sure they don't get into the wrong hands. It's one of the things supporters point to as a major benefit of legalization. If people are smoking anyway, they say, isn't it better that the state can monitor what's grown, what pesticides are used, how it's marketed and sold, and tax it to pay for that regulation? Dr. Wolk of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment points out the long-term data on the impact of legalization isn't in yet. So if Massachusetts voters choose next week to legalize, he has some advice for regulators here. Start out by being restrictive.
Once the horse is out of the barn, it's a little bit more difficult to pull back.
It's essentially the same advice he has for people trying marijuana edibles for the first time. Start small and see what the effect is. Craig LaMolt, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.